This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. Here we are again, another Giants loss that will evaporate into the air. Like every one of these seasons that we have watched in the last number of seasons where the coaches have been changing and the quarterbacks have been changing and the general managers have been changing, and it's over and over and over again. And I don't even think there's really much specifically in this game where you sit here and break down, well, this happened or that happened or this guy or that guy. I mean, it's an overall philosophy thing with this team. And you've got now, and they played better in this game than they played against the Eagles, but this is exactly what we talked about on Friday. And this is why John Mara really has to love Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, and I still believe, even after this season and the way it's going, they should stick with those guys in this next draft. This is why John Mara's going to be pissed off. Just put yourself in his shoes for a second. The last home game they have, Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles steamroll his team. The guy that he didn't want to let go, certainly didn't want to go to the Eagles. He's running all over the place. He was close to his career high, and they pull him out of the game because it was a blowout. Next time he's at home, you get Jaden Daniels, this young quarterback who has pumped life into a franchise who has been dead forever. They got a new owner. They're 7-2. They're going to go to the playoffs. And then what is your team? What is your team? They're an afterthought in the NFL. They're an afterthought in New York sports, and they're going nowhere. So they have to get that guy somehow, some way. That's the only way it's going to change. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm right there with you. Everything you just said is totally accurate. And I think Giant fans who went to the game yesterday saw exactly what a young, exciting quarterback can do for his team. And they didn't lose because of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, you know, played hard, lowered his shoulder, scored a touchdown, threw a beautiful touchdown pass, you know, late in the game to get it close. I mean, at the end of the day, for me, I mean, they are stuck in neutral. They are just, you know, it's like the hamster wheel of turds. And I'm not talking about the people individually. I'm just talking about where they are. They're where the Knicks have been for the last 25 years until Jalen Brunson arrived. And then all of a sudden, players wanted to come and play for the Knicks. And he brought a couple of his buddies over. And now all of a sudden, they are a legitimate team. And when you're a Knicks fan, you believe that when you go to the game, your team is going to win. I mean, the Giant fan goes to these games, they just want to see a touchdown, scored by their own team. It's amazing. Now, yesterday, it was the defense, and defense fell apart. You know, Jaden Daniels, he had 8 rushes. Basically, he took off 8 different times, and he only completed 15 passes. Mm-hmm. But there's a belief in Washington that they have the guy, that the guy ignites the entire franchise. And there's probably about 10 teams that could probably say that right now. And the Giants haven't been one of those. And again, I don't want to be this. Today's not a beatdown on Daniel Jones thing. Right. It's just the reality of the league and what the Giants look like. They are in the worst possible spot that you can be when you are a professional football franchise, and that is, or any professional sports franchise in my eyes, and that is irrelevant. Yeah. They are completely irrelevant. Like, the fan base is angry again. Which seems like it's every 3 years. It's comes a lot quicker than locusts do. And they're going to end up having to make a decision here whether or not they keep Shane and Dable and whether or not the team is stable enough. You think about, you know, Evan Neal and you think Deontay Banks and you're saying those are two major busts that Joe Shane has basically gone through right now with high picks, and those players are not panning out or haven't panned out.
Right. I mean, you could throw Kayvon Thibodeau in there as well. I mean, it's not like either one of those guys in that draft have been a huge impact. I mean, Thibodeau's done more than Evan Neal for sure, but he's hurt again. He's just not someone that is making that impact off the edge. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bust there. There's no two ways about it. And the other thing I'll add to the irrelevance factor about the worst spot that a team can be in is you're not good enough to be interesting or compete, but you're not bad enough to bottom out and get the best player available. Like, they were right there. Like, look at the top three quarterbacks, and who knows if they're going to pan out over the course of their career, but we're only going off of what we've seen so far. Now, Caleb Williams had a miserable day yesterday, but we've seen things from him. We've seen some positive things from him, and I think he'll be good down the road. You get Drake May pulling off this miracle at the end of the game yesterday. You got Jaden Daniels doing what he's doing. You got Caleb Williams showing flashes. And where were the Giants?
Right outside of those three.
Right
players,
outside,
yes,
of that. So, I mean, but part of it is that, too, and whether you want to call that luck or whatever it is, and it's not like the Giants didn't know that. It's not like they didn't try, but those three teams ahead of them in this past draft all needed quarterbacks, every single one of them. And they had an opportunity to either go with Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy. They decided not to, and I can't necessarily blame them for that.
I told you I would have went with Penix.
Yeah.
But, you know, now he's buried down there in Atlanta, but the reason I would have went with Penix was a highly accurate quarterback. Now, he may not fit Brian Daboll's system, but I just thought he was an incredibly accurate quarterback at Washington, and I think he is going to ascend to being a really good pro quarterback because of that accuracy.
Well, I'll be looking for that big Penix.
Yes, so it's the one thing that, you know, you can't teach. That's right. That's a very natural thing. And he seemed like he was a cool customer. And plus, everything that he had been through in his career, I figured, you know, he obviously loves the game of football. He wants to play it. He wants to be around it. And now he's buried down there in Atlanta because Kirk Cousins is playing so well. But I think Atlanta did a smart thing. They did exactly what Green Bay did to Brett Favre by drafting Aaron Rodgers and what they did to Aaron Rodgers by drafting Jordan Love. That's exactly what Atlanta did. But the Giants, I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you.
I know. It's like,
it's frustrating. It's frustrating for their fans. You know, actually, I was talking to one of their fans yesterday, and I was like, look, I'm not coming in here and killing the Giants tomorrow. You know why? Because almost every prognosticator, preseason, you know, looking into the future, what do you think? Almost everybody said the Giants were going to be last in the NFC East, mm-hmm, and that the Giants' win total was they weren't going to win more than six games.
Yeah, I mean, and the other maybe opinion on that was, well, if Jaden Daniels isn't any good, like maybe the Commanders will be worse. But you're right. Most people picked the Giants to be last in the division.
So we're sitting right here with essentially what everybody predicted.
Yeah, right. I mean, and that's what. And you just wish there were some more signs. Like, you wish that the defense had played better yesterday. There was more foundational things. Like, you'd hope that Malik Nabers, after coming back from a concussion, would be better than he has been. He's not been the same explosive player. So there's certain things that you wish you could build on. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, like,
I know the game plan was to run the ball more against a team that doesn't really stop the run.
And they did a great job in the first half, but the problem is that this team, they just don't score enough.
Right, exactly. But here's one of the real issues going on right now with the Giants. Everybody goes running to Malik Nabers.
Oh, yeah.
The kid is a rookie.
Yeah.
He should just keep his mouth shut and just go out and play football. But he all of a sudden becomes like this football savant and has all the answers. And I'll tell you, that's a very disconcerting thing for the coach.
Yeah, well, remember in Hard Knocks when Brian Daboll was asking him specifically, he's like, what type of guy are you going to be when things aren't going your way? You know, we might be losing some games. You're not getting the ball. And he answered like, well, it's going to be hard for me. And Brian Daboll's like, listen, I get pissed off too. Like, I react a certain way, but we got to make sure that we harness that in the right way. Like, it's fine to be upset, but we can't make it bigger than it is. Well, unfortunately, you know, it's one thing to have the right answer in a pre-draft interview. It's another thing to actually live it and do the right thing.
And be frustrated and then come up with some sort of answer as if you are the spokesperson for the New York Giants and its coaching staff.
Right. It's tough, man. And you know what the reporters are going to do is because the Giants are completely uninteresting. You're not going to get anything out of Brian Daboll. He doesn't really answer any questions. He does a nice job of not making something out of nothing like Rob Sala would. Daniel Jones isn't going to say anything. Like, maybe Dexter Lawrence says something here or there. But basically, the reporters are going to go to Malik Nabers. All right, you're new here. You're special talent. You're one of these wide receivers. How about you give us something interesting? Because there's nothing interesting else on this team. They're completely irrelevant. So let's get the juicy quote out of you. And that's what's going to happen.
And he takes the bait.
Right. It's just...
He's got to realize that, you know, he's got to watch what he says because... And maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe there are people out there that say, you know, say what you got to say because it's, you know, you're the one in the locker room. You're the one that is showing the fire. You're the one that looks to be like, you know, a superstar in the making. I mean, so I'm sure there are some out there that believe whatever he's talking about is right. But I just know from internally that here's a guy that's been here for basically 6 months and he's already missed a number of games because of the concussion. And now all of a sudden he has all the answers. And that just creates another set of issues for everybody in the building. You know, you got another diva wide receiver who, you know, wants to speak up for the Giants because he believes he's a leader when, in fact, he just got here.
Well, you know, but at the same time, and I'm just going to try to put myself in his shoes for a second. So he's coming from a winning program. He's a top draft choice. His entire life, he has been a star. He comes in here. It's just a mess. The team stinks.
How many games has he missed?
He missed three?
Did he miss three? I believe it was three games. Just keep your head down. Keep your mouth shut.
I know, and I'm just, for the sake of argument's sake here, let me just play devil's advocate for a second. Because I know that what he's supposed to do. I'm just trying to say, like, when he comes in, he's a young player. He doesn't understand any of that. So here he is, like, hell, like, I'm supposed to be the man here because they drafted me to turn this thing around. And I got a quarterback who's a complete flatliner. We stink offensively. We can't win at home. Like, I'm supposed to step up and do something about this because that's why they drafted me. That's what he's thinking. So he's got to... That's not the way to go about his business. That someone's got to get to him and the maturity will happen for him. I don't think he's a bad guy whatsoever, but... Like, I mean, it's tough when you're, 22 years old, when you're drafted to come in and, you know, essentially save a franchise or give it some juice. It's not working out the way you want to. You got another dud game, you lose another division game, and there's microphones in your face. For him to give you the perfect answer at this stage of his career is sometimes asking a lot.
But. And plus, you also have his former quarterback in college playing on the other team.
Exactly.
Who basically now has beaten the Giants twice this season, and things are changing within the division. I mean, things are really changing within the division. The Washington Commanders now have their future, and their future is an exciting young man who has given everybody the belief that they can win any game that they play because he is incredibly a special athlete.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what every franchise is looking for.
And how about his answer? How about his answers after the game?
Well, he's always been perfect with everything he's done so far. I mean, he's actually, I know he had a little bit of a rib injury. He did not miss a full game. He did come out of that game and not come back that 1 week. But he also protects himself. He doesn't throw a lot of bad throws. He doesn't put himself in a position to get completely crushed. Like, if you watch him, and this was one of the things that you had talked about early on, like how skinny he was when you saw him show up at the NFL today. And I'm thinking, man, like, you know, maybe he's RG3 all over again because he had that great rookie season, won offensive rookie of the year, and then could never stay healthy. But if you watch his Jaden Daniels games, like, he rarely makes that horrible throw. Like, he's not making those rookie mistake bad throws. And then he finds his way out of everything. Like, he's so slippery, he very rarely puts himself in a position to get killed by a defender. And then on top of it, the way he speaks after every game and how, like, into winning he is, and that's what he cares about, and it's not about him and all these things. I mean, he's in every
general manager wants. I mean, Joe Shea and Brian Daboll looking at that guy like, son of a bitch.
Now we know why they brought up his name in off-season Hard Knocks.
Exactly.
Where we could see it up close and personal, and they've seen it, and Brian Daboll knew. He knew that kid was going to be special.
He couldn't get the word yes out of his mouth quick enough when they said, would you trade up for Jaden Daniels? Yes!
The only thing I will say is it's 9 games into his career, and you know they have 8 more games to play this year. And he still is very slight physically.
Yeah.
Tall, yes, very quick. And he's got a lightning quick release. And all of those things are, you know, 5-star aspects to who he is. And it sounds like when you listen to him talk, you sound like, or he sounds like he understands what's going on. But it's easier to talk that way when you're winning and you have success. Malik Nabers, unfortunately, is talking under the umbrella of losing. In a franchise that is basically stuck in irrelevance.
Yep. And really the only way out of it is getting a guy like Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's really it. Like what else could they do? There's not going to be someone available to trade for, I don't think. I mean, we could go through it and try to find it. You know, is there someone who's going to be, very rarely do these guys come up in free agency that are quarterbacks. I mean,
it would have to be somebody like, is Sam Darnold come here next year if they don't draft somebody? Is there somebody like a Bryce Young available? Is Anthony Richardson available?
Right, but like those are like, yes. But those are the type of guys. Like that's
I
it.
I know.
It's not going to be your guy that you draft that you haven't seen played yet that steps onto the field and all of a sudden the jerseys are flying off the shelves. And, you know, the Giants may be in a position to get one of these guys, but it's not a guarantee either.
But I would also be careful about doing that because as the Jets are finding out, you know, getting in an older quarterback who has had a Hall of Fame career somewhere else, it's just not easy to bring that person into the fold and expect to have immediate success unless, of course, his name is Tom Brady.
Well, of course.
Or Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, but also, really, that's probably the rare occurrence. To have someone like that available again, the Brady, Manning, Rodgers thing, but also drafting a guy at the top of the draft could be, I mean, we've seen it here time and time again, you know, from Sam Darnold to Zach Wilson to Daniel Jones to Geno Smith to all these guys who have come through here where it didn't work out. So it's just, it's tough, man. It really is difficult. And the Giants fans can go back and watch the highlights of 2007 and 2011 and feel great about themselves and say, hey, we watched these two great runs, but I mean, it's a long way up, man.
Two teams in the NFL have not won a home game this year. The Giants obviously are one of them at 0-5. The other one is the Dallas Cowboys, who now their season's getting ready, if it hasn't already now, spiraled out of control.
Yep.
Where they've lost 3 in a row, and they're 0-3 at home in Dallas.
Another unraveling spot right there in Dallas. Whoa.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Thanks to Al's Gina, who was thinking of us this morning and brought in some scones
awesome. For
this Monday morning. It's just very, very nice for her to be thinking of us in that way.
Gina, thank you very much. And Al, please tell her, I don't know why she was thinking of us, but it was very nice.
She's always thinking of you guys.
Oh, she is.
Seems
okay, great.
Yep.
Jerry, happy Monday.
Scone?
Not really.
What do you mean, not really? Have
a scone.
I like a
blueberry pie, if you had that.
Have a scone. They're good scones. Have a scone, Jerry. Yeah, you'll eat it.
Sure,
you'll love it.
I don't really.
You'll like it. You'll love it. Go ahead.
I don't really like a scone.
Oh, eat a scone.
Not a scone guy.
You can dunk a scone.
I like pie.
You get your coffee over there. You dunk the scone.
Nah.
Hey, makes it nice and fluffy.
Gina sent us scones.
Yeah, I understand.
Have a scone.
There's always a line of scones. People love scones.
It's a big scone.
Why did you have a scone there?
He did. Early
he did.
Early
he had a scone.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
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 I don't believe that.
No, I watched him eat the scone.
You ate a scone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not today, but I've
in his
had
life,
scones.
In his
yeah.
life, he's had
and
a scone.
This is like a big-time scone. There you go. Pick one. Pick a scone.
Pick one. What is this? Poppy seed scone? What is that? Do you have any idea what that is?
It's probably a lemon poppy scone,
probably
Jerry.
That. I can't eat that.
Have the chocolate one. Eat the chocolate one, Jerry.
There you go.
There you go. Isn't that good? Take the whole
eat it.
Part of you got to have the whole thing.
I don't want the whole scone.
You just put your fingers on it.
If I do.
Oh, come on.
What that? Come on, man. That's going to be like 600 calories the size of that thing.
That's good for you, Jerry.
No, it ain't good for me.
It's eating season, man.
I'm eating pumpkin seeds and blueberries when I'm not here. I come here, I'm eating scones and blueberry pie.
It never ends.
That sounds like a great idea.
Look at how happy you are.
We had the listener send us the bacon, egg, and cheeses for Yankee Elimination Day. It is full-blown eating season.
Right. We are all in, Jer.
Full-blown eating season.
Good for you. Okay. You love that scone.
It's okay.
I mean, you're eating it.
It's okay.
Have some more.
He's eating it because he has no choice.
If I don't, you're going to shove it down my throat or jam it up my butt, one or the other.
Jerry, you seem very happy eating that scone.
That's the second up your butt Jerry Recco reference since 5 o'clock this morning.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
What was the other one?
The other one, we were talking about the Giants Commanders game and some stat or something. And you're like, you know what? Up your butt with that. I was laughing.
2-point conversions, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, they're not very good at 2-point conversions.
They're 0%.
Not very good would be 40%.
You're down 14. Let's go for two.
Up your butt with that.
Stupid. Yeah, how about become a good football team first, then worry about 2-point conversions.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's very true. Have some more scone.
Come on, man.
Go ahead. Just one more.
You're killing me.
Just have one more. You liked it.
By the way, open your mouth. You could help me a little bit.
I love when Boomer tries to get you to eat stuff.
Jesus Christ. I know. It's one of Al's favorite things. He actually brought the scones in. He goes, you know who would love a scone? Jerry. Jerry would love a scone.
You guys are funny.
All right, Jerry, what's going on in sports, man?
We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Surf Pro Cleanup, Restoration, and Construction. Visit surfpro.com.
First and 10 at the 18. Daniels back, throws it left, into the end zone, caught for a touchdown. Deontay Banks never turned his head around, and Terry McLaurin beat him for the score. So they go from 3rd and 18 in two plays in the end zone for a touchdown. And the Commanders now lead it 20-7 with the extra.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah, I know. I would have to say that Deontay Banks has gotten worse and worse and worse. And, you know, it's one thing about, you know, being lackadaisical on the field, lack of effort. It's another thing when you have no awareness of what's going on.
None.
And what needs to get done for the Commanders in order for them to score. And he obviously, I don't know where his head is at. There are issues there on the field. I'm not talking about off the field. I'm talking about on the field.
But
and his confidence is shaken. The whole thing being called out a couple of weeks ago with the lack of effort, he's in a really bad spot.
But they're at 3rd and 18 with 19 seconds to go in the half.
You can't
give up that touchdown.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying like he's lost awareness of the game. I wonder if he even knew it was third down. I would hope that he
well,
did.
The touchdown was on first down, but I'm saying two plays prior, the Giants' defense has them backed up to 3rd and 18. There's 19 seconds left on the clock. You're going to, all right, maybe they give up a field goal here if they get some yards. And instead, you know, a first down play, then a touch. Like, what the hell just happened?
Well, but I'm saying on first down.
Awful. Just awful. So, anyhow, they lose 27-22. That was Bob Popper with the call here on The Fan. Here was Brian Daboll. Didn't win. Again, and then, yes, he is referencing that McLaurin touchdown late in the second quarter.
Tough game, competitive game. In the end, just didn't make enough plays to get the outcome we want. You know, gave up some big plays there right before the two-minute at the end of the half. And those are game-changing plays that we need to, make.
The other game-changing play is the interference offensive pass.
You're
talking about the Darius Slayton one.
Yes.
That took the touchdown off the board.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I agree.
Those calls go against the Giants. I don't see those calls anywhere else in the league.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think also, you know, we're watching a lot of bad football with the Giants. So it's funny because I was in the car when this was going on. I was driving home, and Bob Papa basically was not blaming the officials for the bad call. It was like, bad teams get bad calls. Like, he had gotten to that point where he was like, I can't even complain about this anymore, because Carl Banks is like, that's a terrible call. That's an awful call. And Bob was like, listen, bad teams get bad calls. What do you want? That's how frustrating it's been. But yeah, I mean,
they finally execute a play to perfection.
It was great.
It was a good drive.
Yeah.
And they end up with three instead. Here was Daniel Jones on that play.
You're on the 2-yard line right there. You know, the rule, you can make contact within one yard of the line of scrimmage. So see what what it looked like on film, but, you know, Slay's pretty good. You know, Wandell's pretty good in their situation, so I'll go back and look at
it.
It's just so frustrating. Not because I understand what he is saying, and that frustrates me for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, and Brian Daboll is going nuts on the sideline, and I don't blame him. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, his head's going to explode.
Yeah, he's got everything working against him. He's got a bunch of slugs that are high draft picks that aren't even relevant, and Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal and Deontay Banks. He's got a quarterback who shows life like twice a season. He's dealing with all these horrendous calls. He's got kicking problems. You're right. His head's going to pop off of his neck.
And it doesn't end. And here's the thing. So they gave Drew Lock $5 million for something. I'm not really sure why. I guess that's the insurance policy just in case the starting quarterback went down. And maybe that $5 million had something to do with Saquon Barkley doing what he's doing in Philadelphia right now. Because what he's doing, he is the Christian McCaffrey of the Philadelphia Eagles as we speak.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that backward hurdle he had yesterday?
Yeah, where did I read? It was like someone saying Giants fans are watching this and thinking, what did we do? But I don't want to go back and say that you don't build a team paying Saquon Barkley a ton, especially when you're bad. And they had him here for a long time, and they stunk every single time.
The way they ran the ball in the first half yesterday.
Yeah, I mean,
they still couldn't score.
They had 140 yards rushing in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, I mean, this play that he made yesterday was just insane. Just, it speaks to his ability and everything else. But, and this is exactly what John Mara was saying in off-season Hard Knocks.
Maybe another time for this, but I said this to Al before. Can you explain to me why he slid down? He almost cost them the game, though.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, at the end there, I think he misread the clock.
The clock or the first down yards he had to get.
Or something, yes.
Because it was very strange. Anyway, I'll get to the Eagles next hour with sound. The Giants are in, well, Germans, enjoy this. Giants and Panthers Sunday morning.
It's a huge game, Jerry.
For draft purposes?
Yes, thank you.
The Panthers did win a game, by the way, yesterday. Let's go around the NFL just a little bit. Bills beat the Dolphins. Wasn't easy, though. 30-27 was the final. Here was what turned out to be the game winner with a few seconds left on the clock.
This is going to be a 61-yarder from the left hash with 10 seconds remaining. Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin. Kick by Bass is long enough. And it is good! Bobs away for Tyler Bass!
And that was Bills Radio with the call. Maggie Gray, while doing the treadmill on TikTok, reacting as she saw it.
This guy's been awful this season. Already missed an extra point. Doinked another one. 60-yarder. Can do a 9-mile-an-hour win. Can he do it? Is he going to do it? Yeah, finally!
F-yeah.
Wow. From Maggie. She was filming herself on her Peloton, or
she on a treadmill.
A treadmill.
Is she doing walking bets now too? I don't know. Football reactions.
Walking reactions.
Is she dipping her toe into that market?
Maybe so. Yeah. Mm. She was exercising while watching the game, and f yeah, he did it. So that's good for her and for them. The Bengals beat the Raiders 41-24. Joe Burrow with a huge day.
Burrow ready for the shotgun snap. Three receivers left, one right. Joe has the ball. Looking left. Goes. Caught by Gesicki. Wow. He's at the 20. Middle of the field, 10. 5. Touchdown!
Wow.
47 yards.
And you didn't even get much from your guy from Lapham. Yeah, it was so, you know, at that point. Fifth touchdown of the day. 41-24 the final. We found out this morning that Vegas then fired their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, as well as their quarterbacks coach and their offensive line coach.
Oh, that's great. So who's running the offense?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, they'll be looking for a new coach next year anyway. But I will say that Thursday night's a huge game, Cincinnati at Baltimore. And by the way, the Jets did win yesterday as well, because both the Broncos and the Colts lost.
Broncos got rolled by the Ravens.
Yes, they did.
You got three touchdown passes and a perfect rating from Lamar Jackson. And they ran the ball again great with
Derrick Henry.
Thank you. Over 100 yards, two scores there. Patriots lost to the Titans, but that was an overtime. Here was the way the regulation basically finished, with no time on the clock and the Pats down a touchdown.
The snap to May. Back two steps. Looks to the end zone. He pumps. He backs up. He slides left. He looks in the left corner. Now he rolls to his right. He pulls up in the middle of the field. Drake May eludes a defender. Running to his left, looking to the end zone, trying to keep the play alive. Falling down, he throws to the end zone. It's caught.
He's got it.
Touchdown. Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh, my God, Drake May.
Yes, then he threw the interception that ended the game in overtime after Tennessee went down.
Here's what I would have done. Because of the relative records of these two teams, which were horrendous, I would have won for two if I were the Patriots to go for the win.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you do it, right? I mean, what the hell's the point? And plus you get some more crucial sort of crunch time experience for Drake May in a game as well.
And if you lose, you lose. And, you know, you gave it your best. And I don't think anybody would have questioned the coach at the end of the game.
And especially on the road, too, right? I mean, go for it.
Panthers beat the Saints 23-22. Chris Olave suffered a concussion. Former St. Michael Thomas on Twitter said Derek Carr is, quote, so ass and needs to get, quote, his ass whooped for the pass he threw that got Olave injured. Here was Carr's reaction to that.
When you see that or hear that from a former teammate, kind of what is your reaction?
You know, I have love for Mike, you know. And when he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously.
No, not being called so ass.
Right.
When you see that and he's calling you ass and you're so, and like not just regular ass, but you're so ass. And that you need to get your ass whooped, like he actually wants you to be physically harmed because you're so ass? Like, how does that make you feel?
Not I'll tell great. You what, Dennis Allen's not feeling very well down there right now. He's another one. It's not a matter of time now.
Those first 2 weeks, they were so good.
It's just a matter of time now.
Vikings beat the Colts on Sunday Night Football 21-13. Sam Darnold, 290, three touchdowns, couple of picks. They get the win. They're 6-2. We'll have Lions-Packers reaction and sound next hour. Bucks and the 7-0 Chiefs tonight. College football Saturday. Georgia beat Florida 34-20 along the way. Our guy Chris Carlin was doing the game on ESPN Radio. Had a little trouble getting into the break.
Third quarter comes to a close here in Jacksonville.
That is the end. In the third quarter.
Georgia 20, Florida 13 with 15 minutes to go. This is college football. Excuse me, this is college football on ESPN Radio. Oh my God. Yeah.
What was that?
What's going on there?
That's a problem.
What's going on there?
He was joking on something.
Oh, boy.
I love how they just gave up on him actually going to break and the trumpets come in.
The Polish sausage is out.
Oh, God. And to Carlin's credit, he posted that himself.
He did.
Yeah. Yes, well, I mean, why not? You got to make fun of yourself.
Thanks for checking in.
Very funny. Just quickly, you had, we talked about that. The Pistons took the subway to the game yesterday, beat the Nets at Barclays Center. The marathon closed off so many of these roads.
The Pistons like the worst team in the league?
They won't be. Not with Tobias Harris and Jaden Ivey next season.
Oh, they won't be?
I don't think so. They got Tim Hardaway Jr. is there now. It's a little bit different than the team they were last year. Terrible yesterday? Yes, one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
Absolutely ripped.
But
them.
I agree. Bad, terrible loss. Garrett Cole over the weekend opted out
of
his
contract. The Milwaukee Bucks 1-5, Jerry?
Because they lost five of their first six games. The Yankees can't avoid the opt-out if they add a fifth year to his
remaining. All right, what are we doing here now? What are the Yankees going
to
do?
Well, I'm sure you'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
And the Rangers beat the Islanders 5-2.
Yes.
Devils in Edmonton tonight, and the Red Bulls won.
The Islanders were a skeleton team. They got a lot of guys missing.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I feel like right now, even though this is a surprise every offseason on Black Monday, but right now I think I have a good beat on where there's going to be new head coaches next year already. So the Jets, that'll be one.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys will certainly be one. The Vegas Raiders will be another one. The
Saints.
New Orleans Saints, 100%. New Orleans Saints will be another one. So, I mean, nobody in the
possibly,
North.
Possibly the Giants.
Possibly the Giants and possibly the Eagles, depending on how that season goes. I mean, Nick Sirianni, he was 100% on the hot seat last year, and they changed his coordinators. If they flame out, but it doesn't look like they are. I'm just saying if they flame out, it's a possibility just because of the way that last year ended.
I mean, the Eagles are flying right now. Flying.
No pun intended.
And, I mean, they got it all going on. They got their wide receivers. Did you see the Devontae Smith touchdown yesterday?
Yeah, didn't A.J. Brown leave that game yesterday?
It reminded me of the Garrett Wilson catch where is it the shin and in kind of thing?
Yeah.
But it looked to me like he had both feet down, like the toes of both feet when he caught the ball. But he was actually kind of, the ball was kind of moving when he was coming down.
Yeah.
But there were a number of great catches again yesterday in the NFL. And, you know, look, for the Jets, if they're going to make it, they cannot lose to the Cardinals this week. They can't. And the Cardinals now have won two in a row. They've beaten two reasonably good teams. I mean, they beat Miami on the road with Tua. And they lose. They win that game right at the end. And then yesterday, they really just dismantled the Bears. So now when you think, when you remember we were looking at those schedules going, you know, the Cardinals are not very good. Well, guess who's leading the NFC West right now?
Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals. Let's go to John and Tom's River. What's going on, John?
My man, you guys are the best. Gio, you couldn't open that monologue to start the day any more perfect. My God, man, how the mighty Giants have fallen. I mean, I used to go to games back in the 80s, the 90s, season ticket holder. Look forward to every single time I'd be in those seats. There's just no juice in that place anymore. I mean, you know they're going to lose the second they snap the ball.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, and not funny, but to your point, John, is I saw over the past couple of days so many people trying to get rid of really good tickets to that game yesterday. So I on Instagram, I saw a guy who I know who has front row tickets, like legitimate front row tickets in the end zone. Like I walked by him and saw him when I was on the sideline. It was like, hey, he's like, hey, he goes, $100 each. Well, here, somebody want them?
Here's usually what causes coaches to be fired, general managers to be fired, is when the owner sees different aspects. And Bill Parcells, I think, once said owners can count the amount of players on a field and the amount of people in the stands.
Yeah.
And if those things are a little bit screwed up, if you have one less guy on the field or you have too many men on the field or whatever, that shows a lack of organization and a handle on your team. If the people are not showing up, and as the previous caller just said, you know, it's a dead franchise right now. They are about as flat as it gets, and people are selling their tickets on the open market. And it's just, and the owner knows this. But believe me, the owners know this.
Yeah, they could also count how many opposing jerseys are in their stadium, too.
That's right. So the question really comes now, like you and I talk about this all the time. You know, what does it look like when the season ends? You know, are they a four-win team, or do somehow that they get to 7 or 8 wins? Do they show a little bit of improvement from last year? I would say thus far this year, given the way that the team has played, especially at home, because they're one of two teams that haven't won a home game, and especially with what Saquon Barkley is doing in Philadelphia, this does not bode well for the guys that are running the franchise, and that's just the reality of it.
Let's go to Phil. He's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Phil?
Good morning, guys. Can I just finish my point about the Giants? Even though Daniel Jones is probably part of the problem, the bigger problem is Dable and Shane. Mm-hmm. And I blame Mr. Mara for that. He hired two rookie guys, a GM and a coach. Usually you don't do that. You do one or the other, you know, one of each. And not only that, these guys have never done anything. And now coaching is the problem. Every game there's an issue that they cannot correct. I mean, there would have been Washington one game if the guy doesn't drop the ball, and that's their guy. Jonathan Banks a bad draft. Evan Neal's a bad draft. I don't know. They got to go.
Yeah, I mean, so Evan Neal's one of the worst ones. He can't even get on the field. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was a top 10 pick in a year where they needed to solidify the offensive line in the draft, and it's just...
Well, the question is, does he end up doing what Mekhi Becton did? Go somewhere else where it's a different culture where you're... You know, you're not under the microscope. The spotlight is not on you. And you somehow figure out a way to play a different position and play it effectively. He was playing it effectively until he took that concussion against the Giants.
So there have been, you know, this draft class has actually been pretty good for him. Tyrone Tracy, Drew Phillips, Tyler Newbin have all contributed positively.
Malik Nabers.
And obviously Malik Nabers is, you know, so. But, I mean, there's some real bad ones in there. I mean, some really, really bad ones. And I think that John Mara is done with this 2 years, 3 years out situation. But then again, he might not have a choice. Now, all these other ones where he moved on from these guys, I thought was the right decision. Now, I don't think he ended up hiring the right guys after that, but I don't think there was any one of those guys, like maybe McAdoo, because he was
he was all in on Patrick Mahomes. But if you remember, at the end of that season, he had lost total control of that locker room. You had Janoris Jenkins like quitting in the middle of practice and going home. He had completely lost control. So it'll be interesting to see. I still like those guys and believe in those guys. And I just want to see
some
them.
Stability.
Well, yes, that too. But I want to see them be able to. I want to see Brian Daboll get his hands on one of these young quarterbacks that he likes and they scouted and they were into, and then have him sort of, you know, bring him up and maybe have his own Josh Allen.
So the real question that I would have for you right now would be, if Jaden Daniels were on the Giants, I don't care who the Washington Commanders quarterback is. Doesn't matter. But if Jaden Daniels was the quarterback for the Giants, would they be a much better team than they are right now?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't even think it's close.
So it's more like, because I don't necessarily know that the roster for the Washington, you know, Commanders is that significantly that much better than the Giants?
No, I mean, think about it. I mean, they've got an old Austin Ekeler, Brian Robinson at running back, who was out yesterday. They were basically down to their fourth string running back, that guy, I don't even know who the hell it was that was running down by the goal line, number 23. You know, they got Tyler McLaurin, who's a big-time player for them. Terry McLaurin is a big-time player for them and has been for a long time. But outside of that, you know, and then on defense, they're decent. But the Giants actually, I believe, have more talent on both sides of the ball outside of the quarterback than the Commanders do.
All right, so the Giants are going to Germany next week. They play the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
You cannot lose that game, man.
Well, yeah, you can. It'll help him out in the long run.
In the long run, yes, it will. But that's a view from 10,000 feet. That's not a view from in that locker room and in their front office. You know, like, I do believe that Dennis Allen sealed his fate yesterday by losing to the Panthers.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks the Panthers have the worst roster in the league. And it was Bryce Young who had a really good game, and he brought his team back in the fourth quarter, and they won the game. But, you know, how do you think the Saint fan is feeling today about their team after losing yesterday with getting their quarterback back?
Yeah, especially after blowing them out in week one, the Panthers, and looking like they were the far superior team, losing to them, you know, a couple months later, pretty bad.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.